So, anyway, it is 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 5 p.m. Michael's time.
My time.
This is RGC WV, Random Geek Culture in West Virginia. I am your host, Luke Hersey, and with me tonight is Alex, Greg, and Mike.
Hello for our audio podcast people.
Yeah,
Oh yeah,
because they
I
can't
forget
see me.
about them.
They can't see me click on the thing, you know? Yeah. But I clicked the thing and it
I waved.
yeah, you yeah,
And
thank you. Thank you for that. And then Greg picked
that
up right after, so everybody was right
helps no
on
one in the
point.
car.
Yeah, and you
We're good at
said
this.
something, you know, for the people at home that are listening, which is the vast majority of our audience actually is
Just rewarded our Twitch viewers.
yeah, right.
Exclusive content, us waving.
Next week there'll be a striptease. No.
Ooh,
No.
that's DLC.
Yeah.
That's DLC.
No, that's fans only.
Yeah.
You mean only fans?
Only you would know that.
Oh.
Oh.
I knew that, but I didn't want to
Yeah. You know what I'm about.
yeah. Yeah. I don't want to check your browsing history. One topic that we're going over, but yet that one topic has a whole laundry list of things that we really kind of want to discuss. And so we're going to be discussing those in this forum live for all to watch. So, of course, if you read the description, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, that we are going to be talking about the Microsoft purchase. Or actually, Microsoft's Game Studios, rather, purchase of Bethesda. Now, Microsoft Game Studios has done this before. They've done this with other studios. And it's only made them better for it. And the people that benefit from that is, at times, the gamers. Now, what might happen from all this? This is what we're going to talk about. So, anything that you guys want to, you know, like preface this with before we start diving in?
I'm still not buying an Xbox.
That is something that I do actually want to talk about tonight.
I was wondering, I was going to say something about that, but I wasn't sure if that was the ending of this or the beginning. So we're kind of Tarantino-ing up it up in here. But yeah, I agree. My PS5 just came today, so I'm just like, eh.
It did come today?
It did. It's actually downloading the old games right now, so I
Gotcha.
haven't really got to, other than the Playroom thing. Hazel's playing it right now, but I haven't got to test it out too much.
Now, did you get the
But
digital or the disc version?
my intent was to get the digital version, but I got it through PlayStation Direct, and for some reason they weren't selling the digital-only ones that day, and I got in on the lottery like right at the beginning. So I was like, well, I don't want to squander this, so I'll just go ahead and get the one off the disc.
Well,
But
see, go ahead.
I never buy disc games anymore, so I must feel like I should just so it's not a waste.
I do, but like, well, for instance, right now I'm playing Watchdog Legion. Did not think that that was going to be a great game, but it is fantastic so far. But one of the things that I like is that I can get that disc. And then after I'm done with it, I can let Alex borrow it,
Yeah.
or some of my other friends, you know, borrow those games. Not only that, but Cassie for like my birthday, Christmas, whatever. She likes to be able to buy a disc for me and give it to me. And I don't want to rob her of that. So I'm hunting for a disc one. But we're getting off topic, but it's I'm glad to hear that you got yours.
We'll probably circle back on that for the geek out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, back to Bethesda buying Xbox. So, as you guys know, there has been several purchases over the years. Microsoft here just notably bought Obsidian. About a year ago, I think it was. And they bought them mid-development of Outer Worlds. And Microsoft has done this quite a few times. They've bought studios mid-development. And one of the ones that I'm gonna hash up, that I'm gonna bring up, is one that a lot of people kind of forget about. And we're going to circle back around to this subject again. But they bought the rights to Halo. And it was supposed to be the killer game for Apple. And they bought it like end of development and made it an Xbox exclusive. Now that really sold Xbox for them. And disillusions about what they're planning on doing with this studio. I don't think any of us should be disillusioned on that and what's going to be happening with that. Your thoughts, guys?
I don't quite know what to think in that, but yeah, I do recall that Halo and its predecessor Marathon, which I never
played. Oh, Marathon.
See, I never played Marathon.
Marathon was a great game.
But yeah, those were Apple games. And yes, that was absolutely the game to have. Back in the early 2000s, Halo. My God, remember Halo parties?
Oh, land. Yeah, that was
the thing, man. That was the reason to buy an Xbox.
So,
and in some ways, perhaps it still is.
Yeah. It's still in some ways. But in another way, it's also a reason to get Game Pass because it's got all of the Halos on it. All of them. I mean, you could get them on Steam, but why am I going to get them on Steam and have them sit in my catalog when I just want to play through all of them and spend like $10, $15? I mean, you could probably bang through all of them, you know, just the single player campaign in like 2 months. And that's what, $30 right there, you know, versus, well, I mean, the Master Chief Collection is only $60. But still, there's a lot of benefits to Game Pass. And that is one of the topics that I want to talk about is that it got added. They added almost all Bethesda games, all the big ones, all the big titles, to Game Pass. There was one that I was actually really disappointed that they didn't add to Game Pass, and I hope they add it soon. But I'm hoping that since it's not on there, they're planning on doing a remake, and that's Terminator Future Shock. I don't know if you guys remember that one.
Nope.
The game was so awesome.
I don't know that one.
Really?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't know anything about it. I didn't know Bethesda developed it.
So it came out around the same time as Morrowind. Actually, a little bit before Morrowind. It was a first-person shooter. Okay. It was kind of an open world before open world was a thing. Terminator game where you are in the future, you know, fighting the Terminators. If you get a chance, play that game. It's really interesting. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool.
All right.
But, you know, getting a little off topic. I mean, we're talking about Bethesda merger. But I was looking through that catalog, and there's a lot. They practically, like, I'm not going to say doubled the catalog, but they at least added another 25% to the catalog with the Bethesda merger. Well, I keep calling it a merger, but they bought them out.
Yeah.
So
I think that one effect that this might have, one sort of point of hope, is that this will bring a player base to some multiplayer games that, like, have fallen out of style or didn't have a great launch or maybe just kind of got bad reviews and stuff, that this gives them a player base and gives them a second chance. And I've been reading about
76
games that are on this. A lot of them, only one of them being a Bethesda game. But No Man's Sky, Battleborn, Evolve, Crucible. I've heard good things about this Evolve game. Apparently it had a bad launch, but it got good reviews. And it just never found a player base. This is giving those games a new player base. And indeed, Fallout 76 has changed since its launch quite a bit. And it may very well bring new players to that game.
I had read somewhere today, and I can't think of the source of it, that Fallout 76 on Xbox has a bigger player base now than what I think Cyberpunk and three other games combined do. And they believe that's a testament to what Game Pass is doing for it.
Yeah, they said that it has a huge player base on Xbox now.
That's exciting news.
Yeah, I'm glad it's doing well, finally.
I mean, I actually started playing it again here a couple weeks ago. And one of the reasons why I stopped playing it was because it was crashing all the time. And I'm not a subscriber to Fallout First. But I haven't had any crashing problems at all. And that is another thing that I want to bring up, is Fallout First. Do you think that Fallout First is going to be added as a feature of Game Pass Ultimate? Or even if we're going to be talking about that, do you think that they're going to make it so that only Ultimate subscribers have an access to Fallout First? Because remember, mods are supposed to be coming within the next year. They mentioned that here recently in an AMA.
I think as long as they have a way to generate revenue for 76, they'll be satisfied with that. I think Game Pass people probably wouldn't have to pay for that. No, I will, you know, as a PlayStation owner, and I have, and I'm considering it again because I think my subscription runs out this month. But I feel like I got a lot out of it in the end for how much I played it.
Now, have you played all of the content up to what's out right now? Played through Steel?
Yeah, for the most part, I'm done with all the side quests. The only ones I haven't done are ones that require a lot of people, mostly because I haven't had a reason to. Of course, you know, Foshnot. I did do the Monaga Mine thing at least one time, which was super tough. Even with a team, that's a hard thing to go through.
Now, if they make it so that you get Fallout First with Game Pass Ultimate, even if you're a PlayStation subscriber or PlayStation player, will you get Game Pass? Because then you get Fallout First and access to all these other games.
Is that a direct question for me?
Yeah, it's a direct question for you because...
I mean, if I had an Xbox, that would definitely be something I would be interested in. Of course, I don't think my level 180 character would transfer, which would be a bummer.
Yeah. I was super bummed when I started playing PlayStation and none of my characters carried over.
That would be my only hang up at this point, is I don't want to create a new character because I'm so deep in it.
Right. I mean, it would be really nice if they started, if because, they're putting Fallout on xCloud, if they add in cross-platform, that would be great. That would really excite me.
I think they are, or that they may already have, but only to PC, and only if you play the Xbox version of it, not the Steam version.
Gotcha. Oh, you know what? I just thought of something. What's going to happen to the Bethesda launcher? On PC, what's going to happen to the Bethesda launcher?
Well, I mean, it doesn't need to change, does it?
It is going to remain for the games that already exist, I would say. It may not exist in the future because they may want you to buy it directly from the Xbox app on Windows. But for the games that currently exist, I would say it'll still be there.
So we were just talking about Steam. Do you think this is going to throw a wrench into Steam's plans?
Not really. I don't think anything stops Steam.
Okay.
Like, they're ingrained and embedded in the, especially the PC gaming industry.
For making sequels, something stops them from doing that.
Yeah, except for making sequels. They don't make games anymore.
They made Half-Life Alyx, which you should play, Alyx.
Oh, well, I'm not buying their hardware, okay?
You played it, Greg? Oh, fantastic. Anyway, that's a tangent, though.
Yeah, but no, Steam is fully ingrained in every PC gamer's list of applications, and I don't see that changing.
Now, talking about other platforms, do you think that, since we're talking about Fallout 76, do you think that them completely moving away from AWS and going to only xCloud, do you think it's going to benefit from it? Because I do.
I think so, too.
I think performance has been a problem since the very beginning. I mean, I'm not saying that Amazon isn't a decent system of service system. It's just Bethesda was never using it right. Now that Microsoft owns them, that doesn't mean that they won't have them use it right. But why would they have them use AWS right when they have their own flavor?
Yeah.
I mean, how good of an advertisement would it be to the whole gaming community that, hey, remember how Fallout 76 used to crash? Yeah, it's on xCloud now. We fixed everything. That would be a heck of an advertisement to gamers. And really, let's be real about it. I mean, a lot of gamers are also IT professionals. And IT professionals, hey, we have opinions. And when an exec asks us, hey, which service should we go with? The Microsoft Cloud, or should we go with, you know, the Amazon Cloud? Well, I know that my game got better on the Microsoft Azure Cloud, is what it's called for the business side, but still.
The thing is, like, I know a lot of other games are hosted on AWS, and I've played other multiplayer games hosted on AWS, and they didn't have the problems that Fallout 76 had. I really don't think it's the service's fault. It's something on Bethesda's end. I don't know what, but I have a hard time blaming AWS.
I do too. I have a feeling that they were basically, because when you make a server on AWS, you set its virtual limits, its virtual CPU, its virtual RAM, all of that. And I have a feeling that, you know, money was always a question with...
Yeah, they couldn't rent enough space or, you know, enough horsepower.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good viable business option for them. But if a company like Microsoft that already owns the virtual servers, why wouldn't they just go overboard because they have no... They're low on overhead in that that respect,
and stop paying Amazon to host the game. You know,
and who benefits from this move in this respect? If they were to go all xCloud, the gamers would definitely benefit from that.
And,
so
in the end, isn't that who matters?
Right, right. Yeah. That's who matters. So. All right. I think we beat that one to move on to the next next topic. So another thing that a lot of people haven't really been talking about, because yes, Microsoft Game Studios buying Bethesda was a big purchase of all kinds of different games, but there's something that the people aren't really talking about, and that's the id engine. That's the Doom engine. Everybody respects the id engine as a fantastic first person shooter engine, and that it handles its assets well, and it gives, you know, priority to action. So when Microsoft bought Bethesda, gamers were thinking, oh, now they have, you know, Fallout and Skyrim and, you know, Starfield, you know, all of those. But they also bought all of the people.
Mm-hmm.
They bought all of the assets. They bought the engines. They bought all of that. And, I mean, can you imagine if Microsoft took the Halo engine and the id engine and integrated the two into one superpower engine? I mean, you and I both know
I don't think
that
it works that way, Luke.
Shut up. Shut up. Okay. So Unreal.
Fusion.
I don't know where I am on your screen. You're here for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, same.
Yeah. So I there are other companies like the Unreal Engine, you know, Fortnite. All they really do, apart from Fortnite, is really just lease out their engine because so many other developers use that engine. And I'm just wondering if Microsoft has all these options now, what they're going to do with all of that. How they're going to handle leasing to other companies, because obviously that is on the roadmap of Microsoft. It's got to be. They are business people, and leasing out these engines is, I feel like, is something that they are really going to be advertising, because they are already starting to, you know, promote indie development. You know, so if you develop on those engines, can you get your game, your new game that you're only a team of a couple people, and you get it out there? Could you potentially get your game on Game Pass? I mean, that would be huge.
There's a lot to be said about licensing out game engines, and now Microsoft owns another one. it engine to license out for other purposes. And I mean, you know, think about like the Source engine. How many games are made from the Source engine? Like freaking half of them, it seems like. And so,
sorry,
what's up, Mike?
Oh, there is a Creation engine too, even.
Right, right.
Which people seem to crap on these days.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
So, you know, now Microsoft owns another one to license out to any developers, including independent studios.
They could always tack a little thing on there that says, oh, we'll let you have it at a great price as long as you're an Xbox exclusive and put it on Game Pass.
Hey,
that's a good point.
And that's the thing. Is Microsoft not even trying to win the console wars? They're trying to win the entire gaming landscape.
They just want money.
No. If they're trying, they're going to fail.
What if? Okay, so one of the things, and we were just talking about Steam. This is something I was thinking about, and I want to get you guys' opinions on this. I was kind of leading the conversation towards here. One of the reasons why Steam has gotten so big isn't because of its massive sales and stuff. Yes, that's how they started to get Steam. But their Greenlight program, their indie, the ability for them to get into for indie developers to get on Steam. Getting on Steam is a huge thing. What if indie developers started putting games on the Microsoft Store, on Game Pass, on all of those, because Microsoft owns all the engines?
What is Mike doing right now?
He's walking up the stairs.
See, they would they'd still be able to leave him Windows games as well.
Right, right.
So, you know, the only people who would really lose out are PlayStation. Which PlayStation really stuck it to them last generation with exclusives, so maybe they want a little payback.
Right.
It sounds
just
about
a little.
Right. But what is going to be exclusive? Are we going to talk about that?
That is actually on the docket. That is that we wanted. That I actually had. That's the next thing because we were talking about engines.
That was an accidental segue.
This is the next thing. Exclusives. So, what does that mean? Starfield is at the end of its development.
They might steal it.
We already mentioned what happened to Halo.
Good point.
Do you really think that Microsoft's not going to make that an exclusive? And not only that, but okay, so No Man's Sky, one of the reasons why that game got better was, you know, development choices and stuff. But it was also, from the backside, it's server management. Handling that on the back end. If Microsoft is going to make Starfield work, if Bethesda and their new parents are going to make it work, they're going to make it work in-house. Are they really going to be letting PlayStation and Nintendo? I'm just throwing out Nintendo because why not? Access the Microsoft servers for Starfield? I mean, maybe. I mean, we've got cross-platform with a lot of other games. It's something that does happen. But I just, for Starfield, I just don't see it happening. An exclusive.
The Starfield MMO.
See that we don't know.
we don't know.
Because if a game is big on multiplayer, like 76 ESO, they're never going to make them exclusive. They're going to want as many people playing them as possible. If it's not big old multiplayer, or multiplayer is just a part of it, then they might say, yeah, this is our baby and our baby only. And it's funny that you threw out Nintendo, because they've actually let Nintendo have some of their exclusives before, just not PlayStation.
I see.
So, from what I understand, as far as how the game is being made up, is it is almost like EVE Online and No Man's Sky had a baby.
They could make it a Microsoft only, because I mean, some MMOs only make it on just being PC only. So right. They could potentially make it PC and Xbox only, make those two crossplay. And I mean, PlayStation did that with Square Enix. They put Final Fantasy 14 on PC and PlayStation, and it does just fine on only those two platforms. So it's possible they could put it on just Xbox and PC and say, hey, that's it. That's all we're doing.
I think they'll probably do one of those things where they'll make it exclusive for a limited amount of time, like a year.
Timed exclusive, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, they were doing Final Fantasy VII, which to this date, they haven't announced any kind of expansion to other consoles.
I still think that they're going to announce that.
Because it's coming up on a year here a couple weeks.
If I remember correctly, they did say that would eventually time out. Because even 16, they've already said, will eventually time out. Because they've promised it to PlayStation, but on a clock. So,
and 7 that kind of thing,
will probably time out.
Yeah. And I think it will. I'm surprised it hasn't been announced yet, because we're coming up on a year anyways. Of course, they're focused on don't integrate right now, which we'll get to eventually.
Not only that, but I mean also COVID.
Yeah, there's that too. But also, you know, even PlayStation released Horizon to PCs, so there is a little bit of loosening of exclusives at the time. And of course, you get to a point where you can only make so much money on one console before you realize that if you want to continue rolling in the dough, you got to ship it to other consoles.
Look at Death Stranding. They started releasing it to PC, or even Persona. Persona 4, was it 4?
Yeah, and Persona 5 Strikers is also for PC.
I thought it also came to Nintendo.
I don't know.
One of the Personas did come to Nintendo, didn't it? And I'm trying to remember which one.
I want to say it was Strikers.
But, you know, Microsoft does have a pretty good history of releasing on PC, because they are Microsoft. They make PCs, you know.
They own the OS, so.
Yeah. But... yeah, you're much more likely to see a cross-platform from Microsoft than you are from Sony.
I'm just wondering if in the future, though, they're going to make it to where, we'll put it on PC, but you got to buy it through us. We're not going to put it through Steam or... because there's already a game on PC that's through them. They've already done it. I can't remember which one it is. I knew coming in, but they've already done it. So...
see, this right here is exactly why I really don't like these games of a service models. That, you know, stuff like that, precisely, that is where it's going. There's nothing stopping it, but I'm going to shake my old man cane at it anyway.
Oh, it's going to happen, because, you know, it's already happened to other forms of entertainment where they've become mostly a service. Games will, too.
I mean, I definitely like my PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Now subscription. There is a lot of games that I've played that I didn't necessarily want to buy, but I wanted to try. And I mean, they just added one game that I wasn't terribly wanting to, you know, buy, but man, I just finished it and it's fantastic. It's Infamous Second Son. Great game. Great game. I mean, the story at the beginning was a little drab, but it was a lot of fun. So I kept playing, and then the story got better after a while. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, that's where I am with Game Pass, because Game Pass even has recent games, new releases on day one, and next-gen games. I've sunk money into PlayStation 5 games and then didn't like them. But all these Xbox games, I've already got my money's worth out of what I've put into Xbox Game Pass for the whole year, really. Because I'm getting them on both my Xbox and my PC.
And my phone.
And my phone.
Which is crazy to me. Playing Fallout 76, I mean, I was playing Fallout 76 on my phone a year ago with Steam Link. On my old gamepad that I put together last year, it was a lot of fun. I played a bit of 76 with a new character with the Settlers expansion or the Wastelanders expansion, but you know I liked 76 was good on the go or from the comfort of your own couch.
Well, because I've been able to play Xbox games on a cell phone signal miles from home.
And you're out in the Elkins area, so the cell phone signal is not like 5G or anything.
I tested one time I was playing it. I think I posted it on Twitter. It ran beautifully, and I was sitting in Philippi at the time. I'm like, well, what's the signal here? So I did a speed test. I was only getting 7 megs down and it was running.
Now, from what I've heard, part of that has to do with predictive algorithm. I've heard that part of the mobile Game Pass uses predictive algorithm to give a smoother gaming experience when data is not.
That's very possible, because on a phone it's supposed to run at 720, and on the crappiest cell signal I've played it on, I'm not going to say there wasn't a little bit of quality drop, but it still looked really good on a really poor cell phone signal, because I took screenshots. I was very, and it played in full surround sound without any lag at all. Okay. Of course, some of the games, the best thing is you play it on the Xbox, you get on your PC, it's the same save. You get on your phone, it's the same save. Then you go back to, you can play it on all three, and it's the exact same save. Which is nice, because I hate it when I own a game on my on a console and on my computer and can't share the save. It annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah.
It's aggravating.
So going back to tonight's topic, we did talk about Starfield. It's obviously still up in the air, but where I myself am still leaning towards it being an exclusive. What about Elder Scrolls 6?
I've really been putting a lot of thought into that one. Because I've really, really watched every little thing they say, because they're being very vague. So I've tried to catch every little thing they said.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Cyberpunk.
And a couple of the statements they've said that were very interesting was, first off, the Microsoft platform, whether it's PC or Xbox, will always be the best place to play it, even if it's not solely there, which says that they're going to release some games likely on other platforms, but they're going to give you some incentive to play it on their platform. And they said, and it's very vague because this could be interpreted multiple ways, but they said games with a legacy will stay cross-platform. But what does that mean? Does that mean the legacy is because the game's already out, or does that mean because the IP's been out for a long time? Because it's with a legacy.
I mean, as far as Elder Scrolls 6, Skyrim was everywhere. Skyrim's on the Switch. Skyrim's on Xbox. Skyrim is on...
They've been riding that for 10 years.
Skyrim is on fridges. People have gotten Skyrim running on fridges.
It is everywhere.
It is everywhere. There is no reason at all that Xbox would shoot themselves in the foot and only make it for Xbox. However, that doesn't mean that they won't have a timed exclusive saying that it'll come out on other platforms even 6 months from its release. Like, if they say from day one that it's going to come out on Xbox and you can buy it on Game Pass and play it on or play it on PC or play it on Xbox, but you'll be able to play it on PlayStation after we get cross-platform figured out, which I'm sure that they would have already, but they're lining their pockets. What,
and I think you just said it right there. They've never been as bad as PlayStation for having exclusives and saying, all mine, you can't have them, they're all mine. But PlayStation blew them away with that last year. They had way more of them. But I think one of the main I think one of the main reasons that they bought Bethesda wasn't just to get exclusives. It was so that they could take a very popular set of games and throw them on Game Pass the day they come out. So I don't think it's just about exclusive. It's about to say, we have it first, it's right here, you don't have to pay extra for it, you can play it right now, you can preload it, it'll be installed, the moment the game comes out, you can play it.
And I think you just hit the nail on the head. If they release Elder Scrolls 6 on Game Pass and a person's got a PlayStation 5, you can bet your ass that there is going to be hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, that weren't subscribers to Game Pass already, subscribing for those 3 or 4 or 5 months just to play Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, because a lot of PlayStationers, they still have their PC.
Right.
So, there you go.
I'm calling it, but I'm calling it. This is what's happening. They're putting it out on Game Pass day one, and then they'll release it to other systems after, you know, for a charge. You know, Microsoft will be able to get their percentage and everything, but they will also have gotten a huge boost to Game Pass for that.
Well, so. And that's not unheard of anyway, not just a timed exclusive, but an early release to this platform, and the other platform can have it later.
Right.
Whether it's a month, months. It's like, we get it first, and then somebody else can have it later.
All right. Anything else before we go on to the next, Lynn, last topic of Bethesda and Microsoft?
Something I just wanted to mention was that I can see this buyout reviving interest in some older games that perhaps you didn't play because you didn't have the platform that they were on, or you just didn't get into them at the time. Like Fallout New Vegas is like a lot of people's favorite. If you never played Fallout New Vegas, maybe this is your second chance, you know?
Segway.
That's on there.
Or, like the Wolfenstein games, that I've never played those games, but maybe you wanted to get into them, or Dishonored.
That's a really good point. The Wolfenstein games, they use the id engine now, so you know that kicks back to that idea. But
I will say I did have a moment last week where, when I was PlayStation hunting, where they did have Xboxes available, and I had the thought, because I had just finished Fallout 4, and I was like, I like to play 3 in New Vegas, and getting an Xbox could help me accomplish that. And then as I mean, like, no, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy. But yeah, But I can see the appeal there, because those are games I would be interested in.
Well, you could start like I did. I got the weaker Xbox to start with. It was cheaper, it's easier to get, and it'll play anything Xbox One and before beautifully. So I started with it, and then Series X came available, and I'm like, oh, I'll never get this. I'm going to try anyway, and I ended up getting it, selling the Series S. But you can always start out with the Series S. I mean, it's easier to get your hands on, and so it's significantly cheaper.
Are they still offering the leasing option?
Yes.
That?
Yes. And the leasing option is not too bad. You're basically just making payments, and you're being forced in your payments to get Game Pass. That's the catch, is you have to buy your Xbox in payments and at the same time have Game Pass. But I mean, if you've got an Xbox, I don't know why you wouldn't want to try Game Pass, but they come bundled. You have to have both. But yes, they're still doing that. They're still letting you have them in a payment plan.
What is that, $30 a month, $50 a month?
It's not a lot. It's not.
Yeah, I remember
like
I looked
2 years.
It. Yeah.
Huh.
So that's something you can do, Mike.
I would definitely be interested, because I got my big hardware machine now, so having an S wouldn't be that big a deal at this point.
It's like this big and puts out no heat. It's quieter than the PlayStation. You can't hear it even if you put your ear up to it. I actually loved it. I thought for $300 and it was an amazing machine. Something this little that can do next gen games and ray tracing, even if it's at a lower resolution. I was like, what?
It does ray tracing?
Yeah.
Shit.
It does.
That may be an investment in the year once I know what Bethesda is doing. Hey, this episode was helpful. How about that?
That's the point of this. Wasn't to inform our fans. It's a fan. It wasn't to inform Michael Mallow.
Thank you.
So
I've been enlightened.
So here a second ago when Alex was talking about New Vegas, I went segue.
Yeah. There's and then we ruined it.
It's fine. So we talked about how Microsoft bought Obsidian, and now they bought Bethesda. How great is it going to be that we've got Obsidian and Bethesda working on Fallout 6. Fallout 5. Basically, New Vegas 2. And who says...
Why not do both at the same time?
And with both of them working on this, I have a prediction on where they're going to be.
Do you think they're going back to California?
No.
Miami.
No, because an indie developer did that, and Microsoft isn't big on stepping on indie developer toes.
They're one company. Vice City. They're going to be in Vice City.
Chicago.
I can see it.
Chicago.
How do you top Appalachia?
Chicago. That's how you do it. I don't think that they're going to do. I don't think that they would do New York, because a lot of people have talked about New York, and I don't think that they'll do New York because there's not too much of a difference as far as like city makeup, as far as New York versus Boston, except that Boston has the history behind it, so it's interesting.
New York's been done to death also.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in every game.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
But Chicago isn't.
That's a good point.
Chicago isn't. It's a place for them to really start something new. And not only that, there's all those outlier islands out on the lake. that, you know, maybe they actually put in a boat mechanic in this one. Because that would be really cool. I mean, they put one into four, you know, with Far Harbor, but you didn't control it. It would be really nice if they put some kind of... Go ahead, Greg.
They could do a DLC where you actually crossed it, went over into Canada, which is technically the United States at that point.
That's a good idea. Actually, I was. Did you know that there were actually some Canadians throughout the Fallout series?
I think I did.
Is it the Alaska DLC or something?
No. In like Fallout, I think it's 2.
There's people from overseas that have somehow made it to the wasteland, so I'm sure they would come down from the north where they can cross more easily.
That's right. Something I would kind of like to see would be Fallout in a country other than America.
Yes, a lot of people would like to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
from the Chinese angle.
Right.
Fallout Russia. Fallout Moscow, man.
Fallout Mongolia.
No. We need to have landmarks.
The Russians have their involved in their own superpower struggle, and then China was involved in their own superpower struggle in the Fallout universe. Mongolia is stuck right in the middle. That would be kind of but Chicago. I think Chicago would be make a great Fallout game. Because then they could actually do DLCs, one of them being in Canada. Like Toronto.
It's a good prediction.
Milwaukee.
Whoa, and then you could actually have like a steel plant. You know, like make or...
You always have to have a brewery.
Wouldn't it be cool... I was just talking about vehicles. Wouldn't it be cool if you could go to Milwaukee and fire up the machines and make yourself a vehicle?
People have been wanting mounts in Fallout for so long. They won't even give you a Brahmin. They won't give you anything. Right?
Skyrim, they give you a dragon. That's not fair. They have the technology.
Yeah.
At least let you fly.
Of course they have. Of course they have the technology. Scorch Beast is a dragon. It's the exact same skeleton.
Yeah.
So, that would be cool. So anyway,
I know the other thing that they're rumored to be. Been reading rumors that they're going to buy Discord.
I wanted to mention that.
Discord is definitely going to sell itself. The question is, will Microsoft be able to suck it up, or will it go public?
Well, that's the thing. Discord is talking about going public versus selling out to Microsoft. So,
but Microsoft has a lot of money they can throw at them. Is the thing, if they throw enough, they might be able to get it. I'm a little scared of it because. They haven't always had the great experience with taking Skype. Over.
How good Skype used to be?
Skype used to be good. Yeah. As far as you know, you can stream and stuff on Discord, and they did real well with Mixer. So I don't know if I like them buying Discord, to be honest. But I think they want it because they want it fully integrated in their console. And on the PC. I think that's why they want it.
I think that it would be really nice if they pretty much, like they've done with some of their game studios, like Tim Schafer, they're letting him pretty much do his own thing and keep creating games in the way that he wants to do them. And I think that them buying Discord, if they let them continue doing what they're doing, I mean, they just added video this year and it was fantastic. If they leave their hands off of it, but they integrate it into Microsoft or into Xbox, so then an Xbox person can talk to a PC person
yep.
seamlessly, I'm fine with it.
Yep. Fine. And play cross-platform in the process. Because everything they buy that they don't put their hands in, that's fine. But they ruined Skype. There have been gaming studios and IPs that they bought that they fiddled with, and they died. But when they buy something and they're more hands-off and say, we own you, we use you, but do your own thing, that's
we'll when there's better marketing.
Luck. That's when there's better luck. Because that's what they've already said they're going to do with the Bethesda. Bethesda's just going to run like Bethesda. They just own it.
I mean, it's... But ZeniMax owning Bethesda has kind of always been a pain for them. So hopefully Microsoft running Bethesda will go smoother. It's good for game development companies when Microsoft takes the Disney approach. Because look at Pixar. Look at Microsoft. Or look at Marvel Studios. Don't look at Star Wars. though recently they're fine. Which, by the way, I had a friend, I had a buddy 3D print me a Mandalorian helmet. So I should have it for the next time we do a podcast.
So I'm cautious about them buying it. If they would let it run like it's running now and just throw their weight behind it, that would be great. But I don't want them to touch it like they touch Skype.
Right.
No.
If Cyberpunk taught me anything, the megacorps will buy everything out and there'll be like just three companies that own everything. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they'll just destroy the world like with WALL-E.
Yeah.
So, anything else you guys want to bring up before we... before we finish out the topic of the day?
I think I'm good.
I think we hit all the bases. So, we've got a few more. So, let us do our geek outs. Mike, I believe you had one for this evening.
I got a PlayStation 5 today.
You got a PlayStation 5 today.
And it is kind of funny. And this is kind of like a wishy-washy geek out, but apparently there's like a whole culture of people hunting for PlayStation 5s and Xboxes and all that, and in the process of doing this I kind of fell into that culture somewhat. Fortunately I didn't have to stay in for very long. I got mine through PlayStation Direct, where they, once you know it's coming, they'll put you in a queue, and when the queue opens they'll randomly assign the order of the line. And the third time I tried it, I basically got put at the front of the line. So I was like, hey, I'm going to get in and I'm going to do this. The first two times I was in it like an hour or later, and it would sell out probably about 45 minute mark for me. So that was exciting. I had more to this and I already forgot what it was, but the culture of that is just, it's wild that there is like people who kind of do that for sport.
Well, there are already people that stand in lines for a living.
That's so true. This is the new standing in line.
Yeah, this is just an expansion on that. This is the digital version of people standing in line for you.
All right, I remember what the other part of this was now. So last month I talked about how I wouldn't be interested in getting one until something sold me on it. And the very next day after we recorded, something sold me on it. And that was Final Fantasy VII Intergrade. And so what I realized today as I got this package was, this is of the five PlayStation consoles, three of them were sold to me specifically based on Final Fantasy VII. Because I bought the PlayStation 4 like a month after they announced that they were doing the remake. Of course, you know, hell of a wait after that. This time won't be so bad. Of course, it's a DLC. And with the PlayStation 1, I actually bought Final Fantasy VII before I bought the console. So this is the third of the five consoles that I've bought for Final Fantasy VII specifically.
Final Fantasy VII was the first game I owned for PlayStation.
It's my first one.
Nice.
All right. Greg, you're geek out.
I don't know. I was thinking about that.
Okay, Alex, go. We'll come back to
you. We'll give you more time to think.
You're not talking, Alex.
Oh, I push to talk. Push to talk.
Luke's turn.
So I've been playing, we mentioned it earlier just a bit, Persona 5 Strikers. And I liked the original Persona. This is like one of the Warriors games, like Hyrule Warriors and Fire Emblem Warriors. Dynasty. It's like that, but it's like a perfect integration of Persona 5's, you know, storytelling, visual novel style, and then it breaks into a combat scene like the Warriors games. So it's like both. It's like 100% of both of those styles. And I just got to...
So is it a 200% game?
It is 200% of a game. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just got to the level that is Kyoto, and you go into the Fushimi Inari Shrine, which is somewhere that I've been when we went to on vacation in Japan. So it is really exciting to go to this place that I've been in the game, and that they've recreated it very well, which makes me think they probably recreated the other areas pretty well that I'm not familiar with. But yeah, Persona 5 Strikers, cool game.
Greg?
There's a few different games right now that I'm thoroughly enjoying, but then it dawned on me they are all actually Game Pass games. So maybe what I'm geeking out over is actually Game Pass.
That's because good enough.
We get PC games, I get Xbox games, and I get EA Play on the Xbox and on the PC. So that's probably it.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is exciting.
I know my phone. Exciting.
I mean, I was just talking about how I like how PlayStation now, there's a lot of games that I've always wanted to play that, I mean, I played all of the Metal Gears, you know, on PS Now. And, you know, I can only imagine that, you know, Game Pass is like that, where there's probably a back catalog of games you've always wanted to play that you just never owned.
There is, and... It's funny because some of them I actually ended up buying because I want them forever because they're timed on there, and I bought them. But you can buy them at a discount.
Oh, that's nice.
You can buy them at a discount. So, but I wouldn't have even played them at all if they weren't on there. I would never even tried them because I wouldn't have I wouldn't have bought them if I hadn't played them first.
Right. Which I mean, gone are the days of demos that are actually of substance.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, shoot, I would have never bought Ape Escape for PlayStation 1 if the demo hadn't have come with the PlayStation magazine that smelled like bananas. And I had a lot of fun with that game, and I would have never bought it if I had not played that demo that I just got with my subscription. My game subscription. Ah! These game service subscriptions are the new demo packages with our video game magazine subscriptions.
That you pay for.
That you pay for. Well, we paid for those too. You know, we paid, what was it? Was it
$50 a year?
$50 a year. Yeah.
You can pay for it. Like, but like the $15 when I get discounts and free games, plus I get Xbox Gold and it's free games, and I get PC games and I get to play on my phone, it's not too bad. Not really. It's not too bad.
So, I'm surprised you didn't mention what's coming out on Friday. Monster Hunter Rise.
Oh. I'm not completely sold on it yet.
Okay.
The
it's currently got an 87 on Metacritic. So
the demo was fun, but the main reason I am not sold on it is because it's not necessarily the game itself. It's the fact that I would probably have to play it solo, and I'm not so sure I would enjoy it solo. Mm. I would probably only enjoy it if I was playing it with other people.
Okay, that's a good enough reason. All right, my geek out. As you guys may or may not remember, I got the Retroid Pocket here recently. Been loving this friggin' thing. But just today, and this is my actual geek out, my T-shirt is an Easter egg.
I love it.
Yeah, it's... Mike actually gave me this one.
That was like 10 years ago. That's held up pretty good.
Oh, I wash all my shirts inside out. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Pro tip. Wash your shirts inside out if you want them to last long. I have some shirts that are from my childhood. Not even joking.
Today I learned Luke is the same size as he was as a child. It's kind of
middle school. Weird. Middle school. I stopped growing in middle school. I'm 5'6". It's not like I'm a tall guy. I mean, I did grow. I grew out, actually. Uh-huh. I didn't. I'm pretty much the same weight as I was in middle school, too. Anyway, I played and beat today Minish Cap. And my God, that is a fantastic Zelda game. It might change my order of best Zelda games ever. I'm going to have to think about that for a while. But I'm pretty confident in saying that it's the best Zelda game not developed by Nintendo itself.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I remember that one very well. It was pretty darn cool.
It hits so many bases. Especially, there are some things that were introduced in the 3D Zeldas that they pull off very well in a 2D plane. But also, all of the things that I want out of a 2D Zelda game, basically, you know, my touchstone for that is Link to the Past. It has all of that, and some of it it even does better.
Huh.
The only thing it really didn't have was the hookshot. But, I mean, I can make my peace with the hookshot not being in it.
It had a lot of unique items, though.
It really... The Panucci staff and the vacuum bag. I don't know what it was called. I forget what it was called.
I know what you mean. That might have been what they called it. I don't remember.
Which one of those Retroids do you have?
I have the Retroid Pocket 2. And if you want, I can send you the link for the... Because they're hard to find unless you get it from the manufacturer itself. Bobby Dunn, who does the classic cartridge catalog, he just ordered his. And he ordered it from the Retroid producer or manufacturer itself. They're out of China, so it takes if you do the low end shipping, it takes like a month or two.
Yeah, to get it just said 25 to 45 days, and they're not shipping them again until April, apparently.
Yeah. Now, if you get DHL, you'll get it a little faster. But yeah, are you on that website?
Yes, because I remember that thing the last time you talked about. And I thought, well, that does sound really interesting.
Well, the thing that's really cool about it is, okay, so I went to Cincinnati this last weekend, and so we were at a hotel, and I brought my micro HDMI cord, and I friggin' plugged my Retroid into the hotel TV. And I was playing Minish Cap on the big TV in my hotel room.
See, that output is that's an extra appeal, because then you don't have to play it on the little screen if you don't want to. You can play it on the big screen.
And the controls are tactile enough. I didn't have to like look down at the buttons or anything like it would like a mobile phone or something like that, or some of these other game pads. You constantly got to be looking down because you don't know what button you're pushing. It's a very tactile touch. It's one of the nicest ones I've used.
$80 isn't bad. I mean, a PlayStation 5 game $70. So
right. So, I mean, you're spending $10 to $25 on shipping.
Well, but still, that's
pro
not...
Pro tip, though, if you do get one, get the case with it. I actually ended up getting the case after the fact from Amazon and spent an extra $10 on it. It's only $10 there.
Are the cases accessories? Oh.
Yeah, and the cases are really nice.
You can even buy the cable. You can buy an extra controller.
Well, the controller is Android. So any controller that does Bluetooth to Android will work. And you can also Bluetooth to other Retroids and be able to do two-player games on two different Retroids.
That's so cool.
Me and Bobby and Alex... we're planning on doing a classic cartridge catalog episode with the Retroids.
I'll have to think about it, and that's a game I've never got to play that has interested me before.
Well, one thing I will say, and this is one thing I had to do, there is an error in the game that if you it's in the last dungeon that it crashes the game and sends you back to the title screen, so you have to apply a cheat to go walk through a wall in order to get around that one room that errors.
But I've already got phone controllers, so
yeah,
I got a Bluetooth controller that'll work on Android, so that's fine.
Yeah,
it looks like an Xbox controller.
Sweet. All right. Hey, we did pretty good on time today.
Yeah.
Pretty good at time. So, anything else before we sign off, guys?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to RGCWV Random Geek Culture in West Virginia. I was your host, Luke Hersey. With me tonight was Alex.
Hey, folks.
Greg.
Hello.
And Mike.
Mike is making a heart with his fingers.
We inverted that this time. I love it.
So if you liked this, you can catch us on our Twitch live. And I will announce that on Facebook and on Twitter. But it's usually the third Wednesday of the month is usually when we like to do these. We only do them about once a month. You know, we've all got stuff going on, and we don't want this to be just another job, you know, to do this. These are just fun conversations, and we put it out there for everybody to listen to. If you like this, you can on YouTube, you could comment and subscribe. Also we're going to be putting this, the audio version of this on Anchor. So if you're listening on Anchor, thank you, for being a devoted fan for the last 2 years.
Two and a half.
Yeah. Two and a half? Is it two and a half? Yeah, it's two and a half. Man. So, also you could, send me a text or voicemail to 304-566-9777. Welcome to the end.
Welcome to the end.
The end.
All right. And we are clear.
I'm going to go make...